Hi, welcome back to Door County Gardening. I'm your host, Brett Hansen, and this week I'm sharing my first book review, and I'm starting with one of my favorite garden books, although it might not seem like a garden book at first glance. Before I begin, I want to remind everyone that one of the three main goals at Door County Gardening is helping to balance science and art in our relationship with nature. Sometimes we lose the forest and the trees, especially if we're always trying to remember the difference between a pine and spruce, when deep down, we really love them both. Artists help us describe what seems indescribable, thus turning the ethereal feelings we have about nature and life into real descriptions and images. Don't worry, next time, we'll dive deep into the science of how climate change is affecting Door County gardeners. And if you want to meet some wonderful master gardeners getting ready for the Door County Master Gardener Plant Fair on Memorial Day weekend, visit our YouTube channel to learn more about how the seedlings are coming along fine in the expert hands of Lisa Odell and her wonderful master gardeners. But for now, let's meet two amazing artists who lived in different centuries, practiced different arts, and came together to create one amazing book. Long before I became a gardener, my wife gave me an extraordinary book about an extraordinary scientist who also happened to be touched with the gift. No, not spirits or divination, but the ability to write so well that Victor Hugo called him, quote, the insect's Homer. When I first started reading The Passionate Observer, I was more intrigued with the beautiful writing and the delicate, meticulous illustrations by the extraordinary watercolorist Marlene McLaughlin. But slowly, ever so slowly, the insects and his wild natural gardens crept into my imagination. I'd return to the book again and again simply because it was beautiful. But I found myself wanting to learn more about the harmas, the great green grasshopper, and the pond. Oh, the beautiful pond. Ironically, I didn't start this journey with nature in mind. But fate, indifferent to our intentions or wishes, lured one ignorant fool into the subtle joys of observing not only the great and mighty, but also the smaller, secret, and equally glorious parts of nature. Together, Fabre and McLaughlin create a serene harmony of words and images about the stony ground and prickly thistles in southern France, about the hard and vigorous lives of a wasp or birds and beetles, and the bees, of course the bees, about the Cerceris arenaria and Centaurus solstitalis, about the Jeticonia viridissima and the Lamellicornia. Fortunately, the translator uses terms familiar to us non-scientists. The wasps, the bees, the yellow thistle, the mason bees, and beetles galore, and, of course, the great green grasshopper. I do not speak Latin, and know only a few plants in the old tongue. But I find that the beautiful language adorning most of the illustrations adds elegance to my experience and my common knowledge. In this wonderful book, it doesn't matter how many languages you understand, because the real story is woven into the beauty of nature through both words and images. I could describe the sun-drenched southern region of France and list all the fascinating creatures these two artists describe and illustrate, but a description of their passionate observations is like me staring at the light and fragile exoskeleton of a cicada, fascinating as it may be in the hollow palm of my hand, while a thousand cicadas sing the eternal song of summer all around us as the sun sets and the gloaming starts. I do want to persuade you to believe in Joan-Henri Fabre and Marlene McLaughlin enough to acquire and cherish this amazing gift that will bring more joy than one reading can possibly provide. But he is much more likely to persuade you than me, because he is the insect's Homer, not me. So here is a passage from pages 3 through 5 of The Passionate Observer. The Harmas. This is what I wished for. Hoc erat in votis. A bit of land. Oh, not so very large, but fenced in to avoid the drawbacks of a public way. An abandoned, barren, sun-scorched bit of land, favored by thistles and by wasps and bees. Here, without fear of being troubled by the passers-by, I could consult the Ammophila and the Sphex and engage in that difficult conversation whose questions and answers have experiment for their language. Here, without distant expeditions that take up my time, without tiring rambles that strain my nerves, I could contrive my plans of attack, lay my ambushes, and watch their effects at every hour of the day. Hoc erat in votis. Yes, this was my wish, my dream, always cherished, always vanishing into the mists of the future. And it is no easy matter to acquire a laboratory in the open fields, when hassled and harassed by a terrible anxiety about one's daily bread. For 40 years have I fought with steadfast courage against the paltry plagues of life, and the long-wished-for laboratory has come at last. What it has cost me in perseverance and relentless work, I will not try to say. It has come. And with it, a more serious condition, perhaps a little leisure. I say perhaps, for my leg is still hampered with a few links of the convict's chain. The wish is realized. It is a little late. Oh, my pretty insects, I greatly fear that the peach is offered to me when I am beginning to have no teeth wherewith to eat it. Yes, it is a little late. The wide horizons of the outset have shrunk into a low and stifling canopy, more and more straitened day by day. Regretting nothing in the past, save those whom I have lost. Regretting nothing, not even my first youth. Hoping nothing either. I have reached the point at which, worn out by the experience of things, we ask ourselves if life be worth the living. Amid the ruins that surround me, one strip of wall remains standing, immovable upon its solid base. My passion for scientific truth. Is that enough, oh, my busy insects, to enable me to add yet a few seemly pages to your history? Will my strength not cheat my good intentions? Why, indeed, did I forsake you so long? Friends have reproached me for it. Ah, tell them, tell those friends, who are yours as well as mine, tell them that it was not forgetfulness on my part, not weariness nor neglect. I thought of you. I was convinced that the Cerceris cave had more fair secrets to reveal to us, that the chase of the Sphex held surprises in store, fresh surprises. But time failed me. I was alone, deserted, struggling against misfortune. Before philosophizing, one has to live. Tell them that, and they will pardon me. Others, again, have reproached me with my style, which has not the solemnity, nay, better, the dryness of the schools. They fear lest a page that is read without fatigue should not always be the expression of the truth. Were I to take their word for it, we are profound only on condition of being obscure. Come here. One and all of you, you, the sting-bearers, and you, the wing-cased armor-clads, take up my defense and bear witness in my favor. Tell of the intimate terms on which I live with you, of the patience with which I observe you, of the care with which I record your actions. Your evidence is unanimous. Yes, my pages, though they bristle not with hollow formulas nor learned smatterings, are the exact narrative of facts observed, neither more nor less. And whoso cares to question you in his turn will obtain the same replies. And then, my dear insects, if you cannot convince those good people because you do not carry the weight of tedium, I in my turn will say to them, you rip up the animal, and I study it alive. You turn it into an object of horror and pity, whereas I cause it to be loved. You labor in a torture chamber and dissecting room. I make my observations under the blue sky to the song of the cicadas. You subject cell and protoplasm to chemical tests. I study instinct in its loftiest manifestations. You pry into death. I pry into life. And why should I not complete my thought? The boars have muddied the clear stream. Natural history, youth's glorious study, has, by dint of cellular improvements, become a hateful and repulsive thing. Well, if I write for men of learning, for philosophers, who, one day, will try to some extent to unravel the tough problem of instinct, I write also, I write above all things for the young. I want to make them love the natural history which you make them hate, and that is why, while keeping strictly to the domain of truth, I avoid your scientific prose, which too often, alas, seems borrowed from some Iroquois idiom. End quote. So, I hope this beautiful prose inspires you to experience this wonderful book on your own. Because it is more than reading or looking at insects and gardens. It is truly inspiring. And if you're worried it might not be accurate or scientific enough, know that Charles Darwin himself called Fabre an incomparable observer. End quote. So, it is certainly worth a click on Amazon. I just hope you'll deem it worthy of something more valuable. Your time. Because many of us here in Door County have waited. But we, like Fabre, have not waited too long. There is time for all of us to see the beauty in nature and find the phrases that will enliven our scientific explorations and our curiosity. So, please come back next week, or next time I should say, when we explore how climate change is affecting gardening in Door County. It will be more scientific, but I am still not an expert. And soon we will have experts from across the nation sharing their views and adding more information. And don't worry, my next review will be of what we might call a, quote, real gardening book. It's considered by many a classic of gardening literature. But I'll warn you, it has become the gardening equivalent of Don Quixote for me. It is the hardest quest I'll never quit, but might also never conquer. Sometimes we just have to be a little mad to charge certain windmills, but it's usually worth it. So once again, please remember to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't, and check out the YouTube channel, visit the website, and if you enjoy what we're doing, tell your friends, because a garden is the perfect place to stumble toward joy. Until next time.